Good evening. Our reading this evening is taken from 1 John chapter 1 and reading through to chapter 2 verse 2. So 1 John chapter 1 through to chapter 2 verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Well, good evening, one and all. I'm going to let you into a little secret. So whenever I speak, I get really nervous beforehand. And this evening is a really big, nervy one. And the interesting thing is, I feel particularly nervous tonight because I do believe that God wants to do some real business with some of us here tonight. It's so easy, isn't it, just to come along to a service and kind of go through the motions because it's what we always do. But every now and again, I kind of think that God wants to shake us up a bit. Well, don't think this is of me. I think God wants to do business here tonight. So if you can just kind of imagine taking your spiritual seatbelt and clunking it in and taking your spiritual crash helmet and putting it on, maybe that's not a bad thing to do to start. I'm going to pray. Would you pray with me? Lord God, Lord God, help us to hear from you tonight. Help us to do business with you. Help us to hear you speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, do with us as you please. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So, if you're ready, here goes. Are you walking in the light? They think. Are you walking in the light? Do you remember if you know your Bible quite well, the first words that we've got that God actually speaks? Anybody remember what God says at the beginning? A few murmurs. He says, I think probably a bit louder than a murmur, "Let there be light." So presumably before that happened, it was pretty dark, a bit like here actually. It's kind of weird being in the spotlight, it's a bit like being on a stage. But imagine then there's darkness and then this voice booms, "Let there be light." And what happens? There was light. I'll try and graphically explain this. Imagine this is black And then God says, let there be light. And suddenly there is light. Light comes. And we read in the story that God saw that the light was good. Smiley face. The light is good. And God separated the light from the darkness. We've gone high tech tonight, as you can see. So we have a separation of light, good, and darkness, seemingly not so much. God separated the two. And if you come with me to that letter we've just been hearing read to us, 1 John, we're going to be referring to that quite a bit. So if you've got Bibles, then it's a good place to be, is in 1 John, this first letter of John to his group of churches, probably around Ephesus. And I'm just going to focus again on some of these verses. Let me just read again the first few verses. This is John, who actually had been with Jesus. This is what he said: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is John writing, who'd actually been with Jesus, who could touch him and eat with him and know him well. And he believed that Jesus had come from the Father to reveal the Father to mankind. And then this is what he goes on to say. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So I ask my question again. Are you walking in the light? So some of you are now thinking, what does he mean? What does it mean to walk in the light? Verse 6 we just read says this: if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So there's something really important going on here that I want to try and get hold of tonight. What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to walk in the darkness? So I need a glamorous assistant. Who else but Ian Clarkson? Round of applause, please, for my glamorous assistant. Thank you. Let's not get carried away. So what I need is a bit of help from you guys tonight, which Ian is going to help me with. I want to know what it means, or what do you think it means, thank you, to walk in the darkness. Okay, so what do you think it means? And the Bible talks about walking in the darkness. What do you think it means? And Ian's going to put your answers up in this section here. So any thoughts? Sin. Sin, okay. What might that mean or include or look like? Think very practically. What does it mean to walk in the darkness? Eyes closed, that makes it pretty dark. But what does that look like? If you were to think of somebody who's walking in the darkness, and if you'd like in a biblical sense, what would it look like for someone stumbling around in the darkness? Any thoughts? Anger. Okay, that's very practical. It could be some... Sorry? Pride. It could be somebody who's angered, full of anger or proud. Yeah, anything else? Lust, my goodness. Oh, sorry. Got carried away there. Oopsie.
Is it you or you?
Let's have both. Yes. I thought you were being very brave there. I got the wrong word. Okay. Someone who's lost and someone who's lusting. We're getting to the nitty gritty now. Okay. I knew I'd warm you up eventually. Okay. So any more?
Awkward?
No. Oh, no, I thought you were participating.
No,
okay.
It's awkward.
Fear? Somebody who's fearful? Yeah? Dispassionate. It's a nice word, dispassionate. You're just trying to think of long words to get Ian busy. Any more? Hate. You're going to have to write fast, Ian. Hate, someone said.
No hope.
What sort of life would somebody be living if they're living in the darkness? What would they be doing, do you think? Any thoughts? Ignoring God. It's good. It's not good, but it's good. Yeah, you know what I mean? Asset stripping. Oh, it's good to see Ian Clark on his knees. Rave on. There's a few places in the Bible where Bible writers kind of like try to get to grips with what this looks like. You'll be familiar with some of these. I mean, Romans, the start of Romans, Paul writes some pretty savage stuff to try and sort of sum up the way of the world that is a world in darkness. Most preachers try to avoid this chapter, which is why I'm not focusing on it. But let me just read you some of the things that Paul says here. He says, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. We can perhaps add sexual impurity. We've said lust. Degrading their bodies one with another. Exchanging the truth about God for a lie. You can just put down selected highlights here. You know, so, God gave them over to shameful lusts. We've had lusts. Women exchanging natural sexual relations with unnatural ones. Men abandoning natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Furthermore, just as he did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to depraved minds. So they did what they ought not to do. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers. Are you catching all this?
Yeah.
God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. I mean, the list goes on. These are kind of things that I think when someone's talking about a life in the darkness, those are kind of the things that actually the writer's thinking about. In Galatians, let's just pop there for a second. There's a list of good fruits and bad fruits. There's a list of fruits that perhaps might be more identified with things being done in the dark. Paul writes there, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, we've got that somewhere? Have we?
Impurity.
Okay. Impurity and debauchery. That's one to spell. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. If I don't know if you're getting that on the camera as well, but that's a pretty horrible list. And that's a list of things that we don't perhaps want to look too carefully at. Those are things that happen in the dark. But what about the light? What does it look like to walk in the light? Because we're told not to walk in the darkness, but to look in the light. So let's have a different colour. Shall we have a bright colour, Ian? Excellent. So you'll be much better with this. I know that was hard to kind of drag out, perhaps, or I don't know, but what does it look like to walk in the light then? If those are things in the darkness, give me some thoughts.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Passionate.
Compassionate,
I beg your pardon. Thank you. You might have to change colour actually, because I don't think that's not really coming out on the camera.
Right.
Peaceful, compassionate, passionate. Ah. Team Clarkson, we'll practice that better when we do it live. Okay. Any more for Ian to write up? Kindness, that's beautiful. Love.
Patience.
Perhaps just go a bit slower because poor old Ian is. Philanthropy.
Can I just say, Mark's coming out with
4-syllable words. I'll get you later.
Kindness, love, patience, philanthropy. Graciousness. Ugh. You get the idea. Perhaps a few more.
Self-control,
that's nice. We'll have that one again in just a second when we got self-control. Well, sorry, it was a...
Goodness.
Forgiveness. Excellent. Joy.
Jesus must be in there somewhere.
One would hope so. Okay. When the psalmist was trying to describe what it means to walk in the light, this is what we find in Psalm 119, that great long psalm about how great God's word is. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." There's something about walking in the light which means that you take the Bible seriously and you try to live out what it says in all the positive ways. Going back to that passage from Galatians, we read there, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness," we've probably got most of those, "gentleness and self-control." So there's quite, would you agree, there's quite a stark contrast between the light, all those beautiful things that you've given us, and the darkness, a lot of pretty horrible things, if we're honest. So I ask you again, are you walking in the light? See, the problem is God, at the beginning, made a separation of the light and the darkness. He separated them out. They are different things. And you can't do both. God separated them. One's good and one's not so good. Either you're living in the light or you're living in the dark. You can't live in between. So where are you walking? In John's letter, he says this, "God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the dark, we lie. And we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So we've got two very different domains, light and darkness. So forward, I'm going to ask you to be really honest with yourself now. Which one are you walking in? Which side of the line are you? Because the problem is you can't play in both. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. Light or dark, which is it for you? I wonder why the church in the West is in decline in these days. Could it be that too many of us are dabbling beneath the line? We've kind of got a toe in the darkness water. Is the world seeing people living in the light? Because who's going to come across to the light if they never actually see anybody living there? So, from what I'm saying, probably now some of you are thinking, this is a bit heavy. So, does John expect us to live a sinless life, you might be asking? Does he expect us to live in that half all the time? You might well think so. And then John says something really surprising. 1 John 1:8, he says this, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And in verse 10, he says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." See, the problem, folks, is the reality the Bible talks about is that we are all in the dark. All of us have sinned. All of us fall beneath the line. And so that might make you think, hang on a second, well, what's the point then? Why are we going for all this church malarkey? What's going on here? If we're in the dark and we can't get out of it, what's he saying? How can we live in the light if we're stuck in the dark? Well, we bandy around this word gospel quite a lot, but to me, this is where the gospel really kicks in. See, hard as we try, hard as I try, we cannot live in the light in our own strength. We can't, but he can, and he did. Luke 18:27 says, "What is impossible with people is possible with God." See, the thing about Jesus is, and this is the Jesus that John was writing about, is that Jesus is fully God and fully man, who came to earth and showed us what it looks like to be fully and completely in the light. Jesus never put a toe beneath the line. He always lived in the light. There is no sin in him, not even a speck, which makes him the righteous one. So that's okay. I'm stuck down here. He's up there. How am I supposed to sort all this business out? Well, this is the great news. Chapter 2, verse 2, we read this. Jesus, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. In other words, the one who is the true light, Jesus, came into the darkness, a little bit like somebody being buried in the darkness, and saying, I'm going to take all this darkness into myself. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to let it have its way with me. And that's what happened. Jesus died in our place. He entered the darkness fully and completely on our behalf, and it killed him. And they buried him. And you'd think that's the end of the story, only it isn't. Because the good news is, on the third day, Jesus rose out of the darkness, back into the light, and said, I've done it. Your darkness has been sorted because I've done it for you. And now you can live in the light. Your sins were buried with me. You might say this is another moment where the scripture would say, let there be light. And there was light. Which leaves me with a bit of a problem. So what about the fact then, okay, if I believe this gospel, what about the fact then that I still sin? I still dally in some of these horrible areas. And so do you, if you're honest. What do we do with that? Well, the gospel isn't an excuse for us to live as we please. If you realize the extent of God's love for us, that he came and took this stuff to set us free, then you realize that sin is not to be dallied with. Sin is to be avoided at all cost. To play down here is just plain stupid. Our aim must be to live in the light as he is in the light. The freedom we have in the gospel of Christ is not a license to carry on living in the dark, but an incredible invitation to begin to live a new life. This is what being a Christian is all about. In verse 1 of chapter 2, John says this, my dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So you've believed the good news, you've believed in Jesus, you want to live in the light, but occasionally you slip. What happens then? What happens if you mess up and you stray into the dark side? What do you do if you know that you've been involved in any form of sexual immorality? What do you do with that? You're supposed to be a Christian and yet you've dallied in the dark. What do you do if you've been watching stuff you really know you shouldn't have done, but you just can't seem to stop? What do you do? What do you do if you actually have an affair with someone and you know you shouldn't be, but you're doing it anyway? What do you do? What do you do if every now and again you find coming out of your mouth words that are impure and you know you shouldn't speak like this, but sometimes it just comes out? What do you do with that? What do you do if you are so conscious that actually you go for the motions of church, but actually the stuff you want a lot more than God? What do you do with that? What do you do if you know that you've been dabbling in the dark arts? And I'm not talking Harry Potter here, but occult stuff. If you're dabbling anything that you know you shouldn't do, what do you do with that? What do you do if you find yourself hating someone? You know you're supposed to love them, but actually you'd like to give them a good kicking. What do you do if you find yourself flying off the handle? You're getting so angry with someone and just coming out and you're thinking, I shouldn't be like this. Anger, it's there. What do you do if you realize just how jolly selfish you've become? You know, you sing that song, it's all about Jesus, but actually you want to sing, it's all about me. What do you do if you find yourself just being argumentative for the sake of it? What do you do if you find yourself drinking too much and really acting in ways that you know are pretty foolish? What do you do if you realize that actually, if the truth be told, your life doesn't look too much different to anybody else who's living down here who's never accepted Christ? What do you do with that? More good news, folks, because this, I love this about this letter. In chapter 1, verse 9, John tells us what we do, if that's us. He says, if we confess our sins. And what that means is that when we know that we've been doing wrong, the first thing to put it right, the first thing to realize is, I should not be here, I should be here, and I'm not, I'm down here somewhere, is we fess up. And we say, oh my word, I've got it wrong, and I need to confess this. And we need to confess it and say to God, I am sorry for what I've been doing. I know it's wrong and I have messed up and I am sorry. And if we do that, what does John say that God does? He says, well, he is faithful and just. What God does is he remembers Jesus. He remembers that Jesus died on our behalf. God remembers the sacrifice and he knows that we're doing our best, but we fail, and that's where Jesus' death for us comes into play again. God remembers what Jesus did to make us right, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I hope you've heard that. If we fess up, if we've been dabbling in the dark side, if we come to God and we're genuinely sorry, God will forgive us. And he'll give us another chance. And for some of us, that's incredible, but if that just sounds too good to be true. So we might say, yeah, okay, well, how many times is this going to work? How many times can I keep coming back and saying sorry? As many as 7 times. And if you're a regular to church, you'll know the answer to that. This gospel goes on and on and on and on. It keeps on coming. As long as you keep coming back and you're genuinely sorry and saying sorry to God, God will wipe the slate clean again and again and again, because this is the heart of God. So what do we do with all this stuff? Well, first of all, maybe for some of you here, even though you may have been coming here for a little while, maybe you've never actually realized that you need to cross the line from this half to this half. Maybe you've never allowed Jesus to become your savior. Well, in a moment, I want to give you the chance to put that right, because you don't want to stay down here. This is not a good ending, I can tell you that in advance. And the incredible gospel is that Jesus knows that we all need to make this transfer, and he came to enable it to happen. And Jesus just said, if you put your trust in me, my death is enough to raise you from the dark and let there be light in your life. But maybe for many of us here, we did that some time ago, but we've still been dipping into this bit down here. Maybe not some of the big ones, but actually, how do you rank this stuff? It's all dark. Maybe you realize that far too often you're just dipping beneath the surface and you need to sort that out. And you might be saying, well, what do I do? Let me tell you, it's pretty easy in some respects, and yet it takes so much courage in others. Because what we're told in this beautiful chapter is that the first thing we have to do is we have to confess where we're at. And none of us like to do that, because we like to pretend that we're holier than thou and we've got it all sussed. And frankly, none of us have. So the first thing we need to do is we need to confess that what we've been doing is wrong. And let me tell you a little secret. God knows it already. He just wants to hear that you know it. He wants us to face up to the fact that this stuff is bad and we need to be set free from it. And we need to come to God and say, Lord, I am sorry. I have dabbled in the dark again. And here's his promise if you'll do that. We read, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you know, the incredible thing about what we're doing tonight is this. You can come in here knowing you've messed up, and you can come forward in a minute and confess your sins and receive forgiveness and go out of here with your slate wiped clean, fresh and ready to go once more. This is incredible news. Well, I think it is. Do you know, one of the things Christians are supposed to do is we are supposed to be lights in the darkness. When we leave here and go into this new week, we are supposed to be those who dazzle for the King of Kings and let the love of God be known. And yet far too many of us hide that light under a bowl. How many people actually know this gospel because we've been telling them? You beautiful people here, we need to be dazzling, because the world needs this good news more than ever. So I'm going to ask the band if they would come forward at this time. You have a remarkably good band here, and they are hopefully going to play for us, because I would want to invite you guys to do some business tonight with God. I don't know if there's anybody here or many people here, but maybe you've never transferred from the darkness to the light. Maybe you've never taken that step of saying, Lord, I need Jesus to take me from the darkness into the light. Can I beg you tonight not to miss this opportunity? And the band start playing in just a few moments. I'm going to ask you just to come forward here, which is going to take a lot of courage, and maybe it's going to be really difficult, but I want you to do it anyway. Blow who else is watching, and I want you to have your own let there be light moment. I want you to realize that Jesus died for you to set you free so that you can leave here tonight a believer in Christ so that you will start living more like the light. So if you've never done this before, this is the side to come. And don't care about anybody else. If you need to do it, you come in just a minute. I'll tell you when. Now on this side, I don't know why I'm just doing this. It's just random sides. Maybe if you've made that decision before and you have become a Christian, but maybe you know that the stuff you've been doing that is below that line and you need to confess it and receive forgiveness. So I want you to come to this side. And I want you to listen, because I'm going to be praying in a little while and hear that God forgives you. Because Jesus died in your place so that you can leave here cleaned up afresh for a whole new week, so that you can go out of here dazzling. John says that when this happens, our joy is complete, because that's God's absolute heart. God wants us to know joy, the joy of knowing ourselves fully and completely forgiven, the joy of living a life of purity, grace, and truth. I mean, wouldn't you like to live a life that looks a bit like this? Peaceful, compassionate, kind, loving, patient, philanthropic, gracious, with self-control, forgiven, forgiving others, faithful, gentle. I want to be in that half. Do you? I don't want any of this business. This just makes me miserable. If you've been in the bottom half, I want you to come and actually get yourself sorted out, not by your own efforts, but simply through Jesus' love for you, his sacrifice for you. So we're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing it. And if you want to do business with God, then just come. And at the end of the song, I'm going to pray with you. But don't miss this opportunity to enjoy the gospel transformation that Jesus went to such extent for us to set us free. So would you like to stand? We're going to sing, come to the altar. And when you're ready, come. Come.